Good day. Welcome to another episode of The Rolling Preacher Speaks Out. I'm your Rolling Preacher, Reverend Daniel W. Brown, Sr. The Rolling Preacher Speaks Out podcast is brought to you by Will to Win Ministries. We say here at Will to Win Ministries, we're realizing God's purpose through total dependence on God. And for the next few weeks, I'm going to be doing some special interviews. Well, this first interview has more to do with my seminary work. And also, because I'm doing a contextual project for my Master's of Divinity degree in seminary. And I have a very, very special guest who I'm honored to do this interview, be with my very own pastor, Artist the Lovelady the Third. So, Pastor, first of all, I want to thank you for taking the time to do this interview. Tell my audience, if you could, just give a brief overview about what you do and who you are.
Okay. I'm Artist Lovelady the Third. I have been pastoring the Word of Grace Missionary Baptist Church for 40 years. It was organized in my house over 40 years ago in my garage conversion. I'm also the library director at the College of Biblical Studies and also assistant professor here. And I have been working here for over 28 years. So 28 years at the college. Also teach biblical research with the English teacher here on campus.
Well, thank you, Pastor. Thank you for allowing me to do this interview, not only for my podcast, for the people, you know, I just want to encourage, but also for my seminary work, so I get to pull double duty. And today's discussion, we're going to talk about suffering and how do we suffer, you know, different facets of suffering, probably just four tiers of suffering. How to suffer well as a Christian? How do you see suffering biblically, you know, throughout the Bible, like certain people in the Bible, like, you know, and what's your passion about people not only suffering here in America, but around the world? And fourthly, because we work together in ministry, how do you see me or a person like me that's being in a wheelchair, how would you encourage a person like me that's been in a form of suffering all their lives? Okay.
You gave me four things in a row, Doc, because you want to give me one at a time going back, so you listed all four.
Oh, yeah.
So let's do one by one. Let's answer the questions one by one so our listeners will know one by one what I'm answering. So what's your first question that you want me to delve off into?
Okay, and I just did that for the audience.
Okay.
So, my first question to you: how do you see as a pastor for 40 years? Have you seen people in the body of church, body of Christ in America? Have you seen people suffer well, and if so, do you have an example? If not, do you have an example of that?
When you say suffer well, first of all, let me just say this. I can't place a broad brush over every church in America and every individual. So let me say it like this. In America, there have been some Christians who are mature, and they suffer well. And let me define that, because you didn't define that suffering well. Suffering well is the fact that they understand that there is a reason and purpose behind their suffering. And so they endure hardships, they endure physical, mental, emotional, financial sufferings, maybe because of the cause of Christ. And because they understand that all who follow Christ Jesus will suffer persecutions, they suffer well because they have a biblical understanding that there is a reason biblically for their suffering. There are Christians in this world who have not matured to that point. They don't know the Bible. So you got Christians in this world, in America, who have not been taught. They're in churches where they have not been systematically taught that there is a reason and purpose behind their suffering. So they don't suffer well. When I say don't suffer well, they're mad with God. They want to turn away from God because they just don't understand. They ask the question, why am I going through this? And even on top of that, you can have Christians in America who have been to good churches, who have been taught about suffering. And it's a big difference. I always say this. It's a big difference between teaching theology, understanding theology, and then having to live it out. I've seen people in seminary teach about death, and they're terrified of death. So they can teach the theology of death and the afterlife and the resurrection, but personally, they have not matured to the point that they can accept it for their personal selves. So, one, there are people in America who do suffer well because they understand all things work together for good. They understand that there is a reason and purpose that they suffer, and the fact that God is not going to allow them to suffer any more than they can bear with the way of temptation and suffering make a way of escape. They understand the fact they are suffering for the cause of Christ, there's a reward for that. They understand that, they've accepted that. Same thing in America. There are people who have been taught these truths and have not suffered well because they can't comprehend. It's okay if it goes happens to you, but now it's happened to me. And so now this theology is reality in my life. So in reality, there are people who teach theology but have a hard time accepting it in their personal life. And so America is one issue of not a broad brush, but individually, churches, individual groups, they do suffer well and they don't suffer well based upon those parameters I just mentioned.
I would agree with that. Actually, you just reminded me of a friend of mine. He was back when at my former church, I was walking through the foyer, and I saw him, and he was so down. And I said, "Hey, brother, what's wrong?" He said, "I'm walking away from the faith." And I said, "Okay, tell me more about that." And you know, the reason why he was contemplating walking away from the faith is because of God allowing his cats to die, and which I thought was kind of trivial, but I still had compassion. So, you know, you're right. People, there's all different degrees on how to suffer well. So, thank you for the answer. Now, follow up with that answer. You know, since you are a professor, pastor, biblical scholar, who in the Bible, in your personal opinion, if you had to teach through a theology of suffering, who in the Bible would you pick? Because I know there's so many to choose from.
Okay. I would pick Job. Let me tell you why I picked Job. And not because he suffered quite a bit, but he spanned the gamut of somebody knowing theology until theology had to be lived out in their life and the reality of it's my body. And Satan hit it on the head. Let me kind of explain that to you.
Yeah.
Satan comes to God and tells him, hey, the only reason Job is serving you because you gave him a lot of stuff. Take his stuff, he'll curse you through your face. Okay, let him suffer through loss of income, loss of family. He loses his crops. He loses his cattle. He even loses his kids. And he still got faith in God. So his theology is great. He doesn't know he's being tested and tempted in the background. And so Satan goes back again and says, hey, skin for skin. Theology is great when it's somebody else suffering. Let me give you an example, Daniel. So I'm sitting over here with my mobility and my legs, and you're over there in that wheelchair. And it's easy for me to talk about, give a lecture on suffering versus I'm not in a wheelchair versus you're in a wheelchair 7 days a week, 25 hours a day until the Lord comes back.
Yes, sir.
And that's something miraculously happened.
Yes, sir.
So it's easy to talk about suffering and overcoming if you're not sitting in your same wheelchair. They say walking in another man's shoes. Well, I got to roll in your wheelchair to understand what you go through on a daily basis. So Satan says, hey, why don't you just touch his body and see now his kids have died. His wife has gone bonkers, but touch his own body. So now Job's body is touched. He's still hanging in there. His theology is still good. Hey, woman, should we not receive good from the hand of God and not bad? But as time and body and suffering wears on, the theology goes out the door. Mm-hmm. Because when I had my knee surgery, Daniel, I was only down for a day or two.
Yes, sir.
Before the knee surgery, a couple weeks before that, I was in a lot of pain, could barely move around. But that was a short term.
Yes, sir.
I'm relieved of that.
Yes.
But for you, it's night and day, 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, until the Lord comes back.
Sir.
And so the theology, your theology and belief in theology changes depending upon how long you're stuck in the suffering and how well you know God. So all of a sudden, Job goes to, hey, the Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And should we not receive good or not bad at the hand of God? To now he's sitting with my buddy's sackcloth and ashes, and I got balls from head to foot. Now my theology breaks down because it's my body, not your body.
Yes, sir.
So now my theology, oh, that was a good speech when it was somebody else, but now it's my body. And so now he is an example of the stages of an individual having their theology tested in reality.
Yes, sir.
And like that guy who taught me at Dallas, he taught the theology class, and I watched in his face when he got to talking about the death and resurrection, I watched the depression come over his face.
Wow.
And I realized, this man is depressed. He literally depressed his own self, thinking, this man got a PhD teaching theology, but he's talking about death, and he's depressed his own self, and thinking, death, you know, when death comes to me, I'm retired. I'm retiring when death comes to me. This thing for him is, I'm totally depressed. And so now Job is now in a situation where he is went from praising God to, it's my body, and God hasn't showed up. And now, cursed the day I was born. I'm questioning God. God did me wrong. So when you in that suffering deal, how it's easy to teach theology, know theology, but can you live out the theology when it's your body?
Yeah.
And that's where the rubber meets the road. Some people have learned a little bit at a time. God, baby steps, baby steps. Suffering here, oh, he came out. Okay, guess God, I suffered a while, came out. Trust you. Somebody else suffered a little while, came out of it. Oh, God, you're wrong, so you got to repeat the course. There's some more suffering again. And so certain Christians learn at certain levels, you never want to repeat a class with God because he won't pass you on. He won't give you a social promotion. You will pass the persecution class, the suffering class, until you pass it. So certain people get it. Okay, God, I got this. I got this suffering thing. Give you praise, honor, and glory. And I saw how you worked on the end. Certain people think, hey, God, you still doing me wrong. Okay, well, you still think I did you wrong? Well, suffer again. So every Christian grows at different levels. Every Christian grows at a different time frame in their suffering. But Job went to the whole gamut of, hey, I got beat up, but God's okay by me. Just my stuff. Okay, I'm okay, and God took this, and I'm okay. Well, it's been a long time, God. You ain't showed up now. I'm not okay behind this thing no more.
Yes.
But in the end, he says, okay, God shows up. Okay, God, I was wrong. I question you. Who am I? I'm just a maggot.
Yes, sir.
And so we saw and you read this in the Psalms. Read one Psalm, David is, oh, God, you're the greatest thing since sliced bread. I praise you. My enemies have been overcome. Read another psalm. Oh, God, I'm in the dumps. You forgot about me. You don't think about me. And that's the humanity of suffering. The same David throughout the Psalms. One time he's up, next time he's down. And I like the scripture because the scriptures are very, very real about our suffering.
Yes, yes.
And we go through cycles.
Yes.
And go ahead, bro.
No. You knocked it out of the park because I'm actually, you actually confirmed some things that I put into my, I'm working on this thing. And I was telling my friend, Sarah, you know, my friend Sarah,
yes.
We were working on it together. And she was asking me why, you know, why do we go through suffering? And the thing is, it's ultimately, you know, we don't like the things we go through, but ultimately, And I think you hit it in the beginning of your answer. It's about the sovereignty of God, because for me, basically why I'm in a wheelchair like you alluded to, but I'm still preaching the gospel because I know God is sovereign, and I know it's a big theological word that really means for the audience is that God is in control, and as long as you know that, David. And like I said, we go through ups and flows. We get frustrated, but we understand. Ultimately, you know, David knew, even though he didn't like his situation, he didn't always understand it. He still got, oh God, you're still wonderful. You're still worthy of my praise. Even when I'm going through a situation like my father-in-law is trying to kill me. So you're absolutely right. It's that's the thing about, like you said, you can know theology, but
the difference to live it out.
And live it out. And the thing is, I'm so honored to work with you because I've seen you. I heard the stories that you told me. I'm like, man, this man's still standing and he's still worshiping God, because everybody has a different degree of suffering. So, but if you trust, I've trusted the sovereignty of God. Because if God delivers me out of the wheelchair, fine. If God calls me home before he does that, fine. It's all about the glorification of God. And if people don't understand that, it's about the theology they know. And not only theology they know, but they have to be willing to put it in practice. So I thank you for that answer. Is there any more you want to say about that?
Well, I mean, you asked the questions, but I mean, by category, I mean, it's the fact of, let me just say this. There's a saying that everybody knows this, two sayings. Hindsight is 20/20. That means after a thing is over and you look back, you can see how clearly it is. That's right.
Yes.
The other deal is the Monday morning quarterback.
Yes.
You're not on the field getting beat up, but Monday morning when they play it back, you could see, okay, he could have ran around that end over there. He didn't see that where that play I was opening over there.
Yes, yes.
And when it comes to suffering, it's like you're in the football game and the play is going on and you're getting beat up and you can't see until Monday morning and the whole play is over and the whole game is over and you play it back. The hindsight is 20/20, and the fact of, once we get to the end of our life and we look back at all the good things and bad things, we say, oh, now it all makes sense.
Yes.
But when the play is going on and you got the linebackers trying to tear your head off and you throw an interception or you slip and fall or you make the play or don't make the play, while it's going on, you can't see how the whole thing plays out until you play it all back. This is what I'm talking about when I talk about suffering.
Yes, sir.
When we're in suffering, there are times, let me give you a perfect example. When we're in suffering, you can't see because the play is going on, you're on the football field that morning.
Yes, sir.
When all the plays are over and the game is always, you recap the game and you play all the commentators on the field, they give them their 2 cents. Oh, he should have, let's slow motion that and play back and see this guy that fell down over here, which you didn't know about because you was looking over here.
Yes, sir.
And so now you're playing this thing back, and you have hindsight 20/20, and now you know everything. But when you're in the game, get beat up, you can't see it. This is what I want you to see. When you're in the game, you can't see. When the game is over, you can see all the pieces and why all the suffering happened, because you see how it all fit together. For that passage, all things work together for good. So the issue is when the play is going on and your receiver slipped down over here, why did he slip down over here? I don't understand that thing right now in the game. And then you see something else happen on the play, or this guy got over here in the play, I'm playing it back because the game is over. And so this is how I want you to see this. When we are in the middle of suffering, number one, sometimes we don't, during the game, we can't see who's watching on the sidelines and learning from our suffering. Yeah. Because we're too busy worrying about the field.
Yeah.
Number two, when we're in the middle of the suffering, we can't see tomorrow, today, because we're suffering today, to see tomorrow, hey, Since that thing happened to me, that's the best thing that ever happened because it kept me from A, B, or C. Let me kind of give you an example that happened this past week.
Go ahead.
One of the professors came to me on campus.
Yes, sir.
And she tells this story. She tells a story. Her husband is deceased. Her husband died. And she's by herself now. And so she tells a story. She gets up in the middle of the night. A rat runs across her path. Okay.
Oh, my God.
And so she is screaming and hollering in the house. I can't go in my bedroom. There's a rat in my room. And so she's terrified, throwing shoes in the room, trying to get the rat to come out. So now she's terrified to go in the room. Then she wakes up in the morning, and then what happens is she finds a dead animal by her front porch. And so she's terrified.
Oh,
I got a dead animal at my front porch. A rat ran across me in my house last night. So I got varmints outside dead. I got a rat in my house dead. And then she's worried about, and then a big mirror she had on the wall, a big picture she had on the wall, fell off the wall the same night and shattered and went everywhere. So all this is happening back to back to back, same night. Rat runs across, mirror shadows on the floor, dead animal outside. And no, she's trying to figure out, I need to get exterminators in here. And I got to get the glass off the floor because my vacuum cleaner won't suck it up. You know, so she buys a vacuum cleaner. And gets it home, know how to put it together.
Oh, my God.
So here's, I'm going to walk all this, how these all things work together. So she's suffering with, I'm terrified of my house. I got this dead animal outside, I know what it is. Scared to walk past my front porch, got a dead animal, I don't know what it was. Trying to be a raccoon later on. And so she buys a vacuum cleaner, can't put it together, calls the exterminators, we can't come out till next week. All of a sudden, they get a cancellation. When the cancellation guy comes from the exterminator, he say, hey, we got a cancellation. We're going to show up early. So I'm going to walk you back through.
Mm-hmm.
So now he's looking for the dead rat. He's looking for the rat. So first thing is, hey, I need you exterminators because I have a dead animal outside. I got a mouse in my house. He comes and shows up. Well, some vulture or something, in the meanwhile, packed the dead animal from my front porch and disappeared with it. So that was taken care of. Mm-hmm. So worried about that? No, it's gone.
Mm-hmm.
So the exterminator guy said, well, there's no dead animal by the front porch now. Well, something must have sucked him up and ate him. Then she said, okay, well, there was a mouse in the house. So he goes looking for a mouse in the house. So he has to go in the attic, and in going in the attic, he finds out the fact her pull-down door is broken. So he decides, I will fix your pull-down broken door. Wow. Then he says, let me check the rest of the house for rats. And then he goes in the basement and finds out she may have had termites.
Oh, wow.
So now this is discovered. And then the garage door won't open because she was worried about varmints coming out of the garage door because there was an actual bird nest jamming in the garage door. And so she's finally forced to go ahead and just, because she's worried about animals coming in the house, she decided, I just need to get new garage doors.
Yes, sir.
So let me back up and show you. So God caused the suffering, number one, with the rat. To number two, caused and let us see, I can take care of the dead animal and have something haul it off, maybe a vulture or a haul car off.
Yes, sir.
And then when the exterminator guy comes, he finds out she's struggling with a vacuum cleaner she bought. She can't put together. So I'll put your vacuum cleaner together for you, too. And he fixed the pull downstairs.
Wow.
And he found that she had termites that she didn't know she had. And he dealt with the mouse issue. And he dealt with the bird issue in the garage. And she finally got the garage doors replaced because she figured something could crawl underneath because I saw a rat. So you looking back saying, hey, that rat was the best thing that happened to me. Because of the fact, when the rat showed up, I had pulled down doors in my attic. I didn't know what broke and repair. The exterminator guy fixed that. The guy was led to the basement and let me know I got termites, which I never would have found out if I had the rat upstairs running around.
Yes.
Then she realized that God took care of her. And thank God, what am I going to do about the animal? God said, I can take care of the animal outside. I have somebody haul it off and eat it before your exterminator guy even show up. And you've been procrastinating about getting your garage door done because you suffered because of the one rat that night. Now you pushed ahead, got the bird nest removed out by the exterminator guy, and now you're getting new garage doors.
Yes, sir.
But that's 2020 is hindsight. I mean, hindsight is 2020.
Yes,
that's
sir.
The money quarterback when it's over.
Yes, sir.
But that night she was terrified of yes. the rat. But that night she heard the glass hit the floor. And she bought a vacuum cleaner. So she couldn't put together what the same repair guy fixed that. So there are tragedies that happen in life, And you figure, why me, God? And God is saying, I'm having them happen to show you that you have termites in the basement.
Yeah.
Well, I need to start off with a rat upstairs in your bedroom.
Yeah.
And I will show you, I can provide for you along the way for all of your needs, for all the sufferings and things that are going on in life. And so there are times in life that we always suffer through something, and we say, God, why me? Why now? And then down the road, God says, I will show you.
Yeah.
Sometime in this lifetime, sometimes not in this lifetime.
Hey.
But he proves himself to be sure when he says, all things work together for good for those who love God and are called to his purpose. We don't know how they're working together for good. So how did the rat work together for good? Well, she got a pull-down garage door fixed. I mean, pull-down attic door fixed. She got the garage door fixed outside. She found out she had termites in the basement. She found out God can send a vulture to take away the dead raccoon from the front porch because she took a picture of it. That's how I identified it later on.
Yes. I love the fact that you told me that story because that reminds me of, I went through a divorce, and that first year was, Pastor, it was devastating for me, and but the Lord brought me through it, and like you just mentioned here, through different circumstances, situations, God showed himself strong. A year later to the day, I was rolling through my former church again, going through the cafe, and I saw this brother. Didn't know anything about him, but he looks so sad. I always have a heart of compassion. I'm reminded of the scripture. Jesus said, the Bible says, and Jesus was moved with compassion. And I always thought that biblical compassion, she called you to do something. So I stopped and said, hey, brother, what's going on? And you never guess what he told me. He said, I just found out yesterday my wife called me and said she wanted a divorce. And he was devastated. But it was through the fact that I went through it. What I went through, I was able to encourage him. I said, brother, it may not look good now, but, God's going to get you through this. And I was able to tell my story.
Sure.
And he was, before I finished talking with him, he was so encouraged. So to your point, I know that you're right because I've not experienced what the professor would do, but the same principle applies. God allows you to go through stuff and to see somebody else. I love your football analogy. I'm a big football fan. I remember when I was a kid, I used to love watching John Mike, man, because he would break down the footage about what he saw on the field and what he was doing. He was teaching the audience. So everything we go through that God allows us to go through is to help somebody else. So that's a great analogy. Now, as working with you these past few years, and again, it's been my honor to do that, I know one of your passions that God's really put on your heart is the persecuted church around the world.
Right.
And just talk about how is it different between the suffering that the American Christian go through versus the church around the world go through?
The reason I have such a passion, Daniel, is because of the fact we are such an unappreciative nation. And it runs me up the wall when I, because I subscribe to Voice of the Martyrs and I get the emails every week, a couple of times a week. So I'm watching people around the world who are in countries who are, if you have a Bible, you can go to prison. If you have a Bible, you're tortured. I've seen stories of pastors who on motor scooters having three and four churches with just a few people. and driving hours and hours in jungles or dirt roads to just minister to a few people. And don't look at the size, don't look at the pay. And I'm seeing whole families literally tortured, put in jail, pastors put to death. And then I see America where we have Bibles everywhere and nobody reads them.
Mm-hmm.
I'm seeing an America where we go to church and we complain about the temperature was 2 degrees off today. And the sound system was too much bass and not enough treble in the system. And we complain about that and the fact that we weren't entertained enough. And I'm seeing, I remember we had, he's dead now, Alvin Francis used mm-hmm. to teach at the college, and he used to come to the church and preach for us. He was a big missionary to India and Africa, done mission work, and he pastored in Houston. And he talked about the fact when the time he went to Africa one time, and they drove for hours in the desert. And he told the whole church this story. He said, we drove so long, and there was a rock. You turned left at the rock, and there was nothing else out there but a rock.
Right.
You drove some more, and you saw a ditch, and you turned it at the ditch. And he said, at a certain point, they got out there in the middle of the desert, and it was like a dead tree. It was actually a dead tree. And they stopped the Jeep. He said, what are we here for? He said, we're here for church. We're in the desert with a dead tree. And he said, well, which means there's nobody here. He says, this is a dead tree. He said, this is where we meet. It's a true story. And he said, just sit here and wait. And after a while, these people from Africa begin to walk across the desert and different places. And they all met under that tree for church. And they had walked sometime for hours to get there. And he talked about the fact you better preach an hour, maybe 2 hours, because they didn't walk this far. You better preach a couple hours. Because they didn't came this far, then you better say something. And he talked about the fact of I said, Alvin, they're in the desert. I said, what y'all do for the bathroom? He said, man, I actually asked a practical question in front of the tree. He said, man, you just went enough, far enough off to the dunes, and everybody turned their back, and you did your business, came back to the church, because there wasn't no bathrooms there. And he said, man, he said that, and I'm thinking about in America how we complain how far we got to drive to come to church in an air-conditioned car with our MP3 player.
Right.
And then we complain, oh, he preached 35 minutes a day. He went too long. And then he complained about the fact, well, you don't have a children's ministry here. When your kids out there in the desert under a dead tree, what kind of children's ministry you got there besides you listening to them? And then you don't have a sound system and a praise team on the stage. You are the actual praise team. And everybody's singing off key and just as happy as larks.
Mm-hmm.
And so it runs me crazy in America when I hear these stories. And then Alvin talked about the story one time. They were by some riverside. And they had church besides it. They were one time at this African village. They were by some riverside.
Yes, sir.
And it got dark.
Yes, sir.
And he said you could hear them singing in the dark, these Christian hymns, American hymns, but in their language. Yes, and you knew what they were.
Yes, sir.
He said you had alligators out there in the river. He had mosquitoes biting you. And they were singing these praises to the Lord. And it runs me crazy when I hear these stories, when I hear the complaints about people, about, oh, the food was too cold after church, and the popcorn wasn't right, and my snow cone had too much ice and not enough sweet syrup in there. And he went a little long today because I had somewhere to go. I had to be at Luby's at 5 o'clock, you know, at 12:30 to meet the crowd. And you listen to people walk in the desert. And you got people sitting out on their tree. And you got people who brought their kids without a kids ministry and got to use the bathroom, just got to walk far enough around. Everybody knows, just turn your back as they're using the bathroom right over there.
Yes, sir.
And you got people who can't shave. They're sweaty, they're smelly, they're stinky, but they're there to praise God. And then I see American people complaining. And we have church-like, we have manufacturing facilities. We got one church. We got 1 hour church. We got to get y'all in and out because the next group coming in 15 minutes. Get out of the parking lot. Don't chit chat. Don't talk. Just get on up on out of here. Here's the next manufactured group coming in here. And you can't stay long and you can't preach long. And it becomes a business. And it becomes a place where no one's suffering. And the only suffering they did was they weren't unhappy with, you didn't have nothing for my kids. But church down the street, they got a pool. They got a gym. How come we can't have a gym and a pool? I'm thinking, you're not here for a gym in the pool. You're here for Jesus. And so it frustrates me When I see churches around the world where people, where the families are actually being put in concentration camps, the whole family, because you had a Bible. It frustrates me. I did a Wednesday night Bible study one time. We did show a clip of people in this, I think it was China or Korea. They all had one page of the Bible apiece, and they all rotated that page until you got another page and you memorized that page, and because they had one Bible, they tore it up. And so the pages rotated between this church group. And as long as you had the page, you need to memorize much for that, because the other page is going to come and the other page is going to go.
Yes, sir.
We have it on phones. You have it on emails. Yes, if we don't read it, you don't believe it, you don't suffer for it. This is why I get frustrated. This is why you understand. This is why I get frustrated.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And to your point, on the way over here to do and this interview, and I was listening to one of your heroes in the faith, John MacArthur, and he was basically saying the same thing. You know, suffering in America can't compare to the people that suffer in Africa. Matter of fact, I had an old professor tell me the same thing. You know, he spent like 20 years being an African missionary, and he would just praise God. Them people, he's like, Daniel, these Africans, they don't have nothing, but they'll stand out in the rain for hours and hours just worshiping God. Yeah. And we, like you just said, we can't even say a 30-minute sermon. You know, like, I like you and I love John MacArthur because he'll teach word for an hour, but a typical church, they wouldn't know what to do with him because they can stand 20 minutes for me. But you know, it's just the fact that it still rings true how we, my thing is, whatever your suffering is, whether it be physical or spiritual, it's always somebody out there worse. You know?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. You know, so
absolutely.
You know, and that's why Reverend Daniel, I'm so mad at God for letting you be in a wheelchair. And I say I praise God because I ride with the King. I ride with Jesus. So, and people say, well, you always have a smile on your face because I have cerebral palsy, and by medical standard, Pastor, I never told you this. By medical standards, I'm supposed to be dead.
Yeah.
A typical person with cerebral palsy don't live as long. They live to their 20s. I'm 42. So God's already blessed me.
Yes.
So, you know, and that's the thing is, that's why I'm teaching through Paul, through Sunday school, because Paul, in his book of Philippians, he's all about you know, rejoicing, even through his circumstances, he's considering somebody else. He says, "I'm concerned about you. Don't worry about me, God. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." And to me, I feel so sorry for the American church because I think the only one that gets it, and like you said, those people, there's few people that get it here in America, but the people that get it. People in Africa that don't have nothing, and they saying praise God in the rain for hours, and they go back to a hut. We go back to our big screen TV.
Yes, yes.
And get mad because the football game not on.
Yeah, you're right about that, bro.
So it just kills me. My last question is, I don't know if I told you this, but when I first got to when I first came to the Lord, I started going to a Word of Faith church, not knowing it was a Word of Faith church. You know, the name and claim of prosperity, you know, oh, God wants to heal you, and you know, all you gotta do is have enough faith. So, Pastor, what I would like you to do in the last few minutes, and also along that you can tie, I'm giving people the gospel in our wrap up session. what would you say to a person that's disabled, suffering, and they listen to a person like a Benny Hinn? How would you encourage them? Because they listen to a person like him and say, well, the reason why you ain't get healed because you don't have enough faith. What do you say about that?
Well, first off, I go to, actually, you actually hit on it but didn't really realize it, and that is 2 Corinthians chapter 1. And Paul says, I would not have you ignorant, brother, concerning, you know, the things he went through in Asia Minor. We despaired even of life, and we wanted to die, and you know, and he talks about the fact that I want you to know that that our suffering and consolation is for your sake. And what I mean by that is he talked about the fact of that, and toward the end, he's talking about the fact that we went through this, that we would learn not to trust in ourselves, but learn and trust in God who raised the dead. So let me kind of paraphrase
it. Amen.
What he's saying is God lets people go through suffering. And this is what you actually said, but didn't realize this, 2 Corinthians chapter 1. When you went to the divorce, a year later, a guy goes through a divorce and you comfort him. That is what 2 Corinthians chapter 1 talks about.
Yes.
When we go through suffering in life, it is not for us. It's for the next person we're going to come across who suffers, that we may give them the same comfort that we receive from the Lord. So we get run through the ringer, that God may come in our life and give us comfort. And then we meet somebody else who goes through the exact same ringer like we went through, like you did.
Yes.
We get the comfort that we receive from the Lord. Then the other thing he talks about in that deal toward the end was we had this sentence and death in ourselves that we would learn not to trust in ourselves, but learn in God who trusts the dead.
Yes.
So what that means is God let them go through such a suffering in life that the only person they had to trust in would be God. But he qualifies that in that passage.
Yes, sir.
That we would not trust in ourselves, but trust in God who raised the dead. And people miss that because I've preached that passage about four times in the 40 years. And the fact that if you got a problem, God lets you go through it. So you quit trusting yourself. You quit trusting the doctors. I'm going to come back to the Benny Hinn and these other guys in a minute.
Yes, sir.
A second.
Yes, sir.
And the fact that God says, you have looked to everybody else to deliver you but me. So I'm gonna put you in a ringer so bad that the only person you got to trust in is me.
Yes, sir.
And I want you to realize the fact that you're trusting in a God who can raise the dead.
Yes, sir.
Now, if you need $50, $50 nothing compares to raising the dead. If you got a broke leg, that's nothing compared to God who can raise the dead. If your kids are acting a fool, that's nothing compared to whom God can raise the dead. God has the potential to take a body that's been blown up, decayed, burnt up, turned into ashes, and resurrected, can raise the dead.
Yes, sir.
Which means you don't have a problem in this world that doesn't have the power to deal with.
Yes.
But at the same time, Paul says, God let us go through this for a reason.
Yes, sir.
Number one, to be able to comfort and give consolation to others who are on the earth.
Sir.
Because you say, well, you just talk about it. You haven't been there. No. I've been through this. I've been through the divorce. You can't tell me what I know. I know what you're talking about. I've been through this. Let me tell you what God on the other side, on the Monday morning quarterback, on the hindsight 2020, I done been through looking back, looking at my divorce. I done been on the Monday morning looking back at my divorce. Let me tell you how God got me through this. So the other issue is the fact that God does not want everybody healed for a reason. Now, here, I'm giving you an example. I thought about David and Mephibosheth, which was Jonathan's son who got crippled. He fell down with his, you know, killing off Saul's household. And then Jonathan's maid picks up his son, runs off. They drop the boy. He's crippled for the rest of his life. David comes to power later on, finds out that Jonathan has a son who's still alive, who's crippled for the rest of his life.
2 Samuel chapter 9. Yes.
Very good. And so he decides, hey, I want to extend some mercy and grace to Jonathan. I'm going to take care of this boy.
Yes, sir.
God sometimes lets people in this world suffer to see how we will have compassion upon other people.
Preach!
So without suffering people, God can't see if we have compassion.
Come on.
So we have to have certain people around who are less fortunate than we are to see, will you give to them? Will you love them? Will you sacrifice for them? Will you have compassion for them? You can only assume you're going to have compassion. You can only assume you will do for him If we ain't, everybody's healthy, wealthy, and wise, but we ain't got nobody to practice on. This guy, he's poor, he's debilitated, he needs issues. So God goes, let me see what you're going to do to him. Now, for the person who is crippled, who is in a situation, well, God, you do answer. You did someone to be my hands, my eyes, and my feet when I'm in a situation. You did provide for me through another person and a source. You can provide for me.
Yes, sir.
Even though I'm in this position.
Yes, sir.
Now, for those who talk about the fact he have just enough faith, well, it's the fact that God could, Jesus could have said, hey, God, I got faith in you, God. You can save all of mankind. But me not going to the cross. I got faith in you. You can do this now. I ain't got to suffer tomorrow. I ain't got to get beat. I got faith in you.
Yes, sir.
But God, you know, I got a plan for you to suffer.
Yes, sir.
And your plan is not for you to avoid the suffering, but to go through the suffering.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And so you can have all the faith in the world. You can be Jesus Christ himself and want the plan to change. But God says, no, no, I have a will.
Yes, sir.
And part of my will for you is suffering, even if though you have all the faith in the world. And just as Jesus Christ, God in the flesh, he said, now that's not my will, but your will be done. And yes, your will for me is to suffer.
Yes, sir.
And interesting thing about it, all these guys who say you ain't got enough faith, none of those guys suffer. I haven't seen a faith healer yet in a wheelchair on the stage. And then they only heal, and we did a study at this at the college, at the church. They only heal certain diseases. They never heal open sores. They never heal pus issues on the skin. It's always some art issue you can't see. And they got all kind of scams and everything else. But God does miraculously heal. He does supernaturally heal. We've actually shown documentaries where a guy in South Africa, and if you ever watch Faith Like Potatoes,
yes, sir.
That
yes,
movie, yes, sir. There's a documentary by which God did a miracle through him that's not in the movie.
Yes, sir.
And God did a supernatural miracle that set the place on fire. If you have, we showed it to church years ago on a Sunday morning. I actually played Faith Like a Potato for Sunday school one Sunday morning.
Yes, sir.
In real life, if you watch that movie, Faith Like a Potato, when he was left his potato fields and he was doing the ministry, he was in a village one night preaching the gospel and people were just walking in and walking out. They weren't paying attention to him. And so he said, okay, God, you sent me here to this village. I'm preaching the gospel. Nobody's paying attention to me. You know, and the Lord says, ask who wants to be healed.
Yes, sir.
And he heard the voice of the Lord. He said, okay, well, he made the call. And a guy walks down on stage. He'd never seen before in that village. And he had his leg that could not bend. He was crippled. And so he just said he obeyed God. And so God says, pray for this guy can walk. And so people walking in and out, not paying attention. So he don't know this guy who the man is. So this guy literally has a leg that will not bend. Okay.
Yes, sir.
And so he prays for him. And all of a sudden, they hear this huge snap throughout the entire audience.
Wow.
And the guy could bend his leg and the whole crowd went bananas. Let me tell you why they went bananas. The whole town knew this guy had his leg crushed in a tree accident. The whole town knew they had put a steel rod in his leg, and it could not be because it was actually a steel rod going from joint to joint, from section to section.
Wow.
And that rod actually broke in his leg when he prayed, and the guy could move around. The whole place packed out and received Jesus Christ that night.
Oh, that's awesome.
Now, everybody that these faith healers hear is always, you have a heart condition, you got a liver condition, you have this condition.
Something we can't see.
I've never, Jesus did dropsy, which is swelling on the skin. Dropsy disappeared. People had withered limbs and could not walk, which means they had to get muscle mass back instantly to be able to do that.
Yes, sir.
And so, and they always want you to give money to them and their billionaires. I've never seen a faith healer who has billionaires give money to the poor people that's out there.
Yes, sir.
And the Bible says more blessed to give than receive. Why don't you give them some money?
Yes.
So there are times in life that God does recklessly heal. And it was for his glory and his honor to get people saved, not take up collection for another jet.
Yes, sir. Like crypto dollars.
They call them cash flow dollars. But they always want you to sow a seed in their life, but I've never seen those guys say, let me sow a seed in a lady who doesn't have $10 to her name.
Yes.
And yes. He says, more blessed to give than receive. Why can't you bless these people with your $1 million mansion and throw them a bone one night at a crusade? Come to a crusade tonight, I'm going to pay your bills.
Yes, sir.
You don't hear that. It's come to my crusade because I need some more leather seats in my jet. So I'm hoping that answered the question. I may have went a bit long with that, doctor, but
no.
There are times, I'm simply saying, God still does supernatural miracles. Like in my own situation, Doc, they told me I had a hole in the back of my eye, and my eye doctor went bananas because he said, man, when I went back from a year of follow-up, he was going back and forth between the screen and my eye, and all I heard him say, this ain't can't be. And I'm thinking, well, okay, this is my body. What you mean it can't be? We talking about me. This is what you mean it can't be? He says, gone. I'm thinking, Doc, what's gone? He ain't tell me yet. He says, not there. So what's not there? I mean, you going between my eyes and the camera over here. Yeah. He said, last year you had a hole in the back of your eye. He said, this year it's not there. He said, the hole is supposed to stay there or get worse, not disappear.
Yes.
He said, this cannot be. And no. I said, well, God, I said, Doc, this coming Sunday is testimony of praise Sunday in my church. That's going to be my testimony of praise.
Yes, sir.
He said, it can't be. It's not there. This ain't right. And you're looking at my photograph from a year ago. God still does miracles when he wants to for who he wants to do it for.
Yeah.
And some he leaves crippled, some he heals.
Yeah.
But it's for his honor, for his glory, and for our learning.
Yeah. Yeah. And that last few minutes, I always like to leave people to encourage them to have a relationship with the Lord. And we're talking about suffering. And I know you can do this as well as I can. When we talk about the ultimate suffering, we talk about Jesus Christ. Can you just talk about how Jesus, for somebody this might happen to turn on this podcast and they don't know Jesus Christ, what would you say about Jesus Christ being the ultimate example of suffering?
Okay. Let me just give it to you the way it came to mind as you asked the question. Somebody listening to this podcast on the very end may say, no one has ever loved me my whole life, never done a thing for me. And the fact of somebody does love you, did love you in the past, is loving you right now, and will love you, and that's Jesus Christ. For someone to know in advance, as I preached about 2 or 3 weeks ago, about the fact of Jesus Christ knew in advance, told in advance the very details of his suffering, and still said, I have to die for these people to pay for their sins because they can never come before God. And so God, first off, God loves you in the fact of he knowingly set out a plan to pay for your sins by his son suffering, knowing in advance. It wasn't a surprise. Knew every detail, being spit upon, being whipped, being lied, being betrayed, being crucified. He knew every detail of his suffering. And to know that in advance and still walk through for the joy that's on the other side, for the victory to save you. Now, here's the deal about suffering. The greatest suffering, Jesus suffered a lot, but the greatest suffering is for you to die and go to hell and never, ever, never, ever, never, never, ever, never, never, ever getting out of hell, a place of torments forever. Knowing the fact that someone suffered, knowing in advance, suffered for you, and for you to go to a place of torments forever because of the fact you refuse to say that somebody paid your price for you, that's the greatest tragedy you can ever think about in the world. When you wreck a car, the insurance company pays for the damage that you did. That's why I try to challenge the gospel this way. You wrecked the car, you did the damage, but the insurance company says, if you make a claim, I will pay the damages for you in your behalf.
Amen.
But if you don't make the claim, and you don't claim the insurance, you will have to foot the bill for the damage of the car, and you don't have enough to pay for it. So all I'm saying today, if you're listening to this podcast today, someone did love you, is loving it, and will love you, is willing to pay for all the damages you did, even though you did the damages. God the Father sent his son to pay for your sin. All you have to do is make the claim and say, I claim that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He died for my sins, was dead, buried, and raised from the grave the third day. And I receive his claim in my life as Lord of my life, and I receive his salvation given to me by faith and faith alone in his son. So, Doctor, that's what comes to mind today in that fact that Jesus Christ suffered. But the greater tragedy and the greatest suffering is to go to hell knowing you could have had a free claim through Jesus Christ because you are in good hands. You're in the Father's hands and in the Son's hands. You can't get a better insurance claim than that.
Amen. And Pastor, you must have stole one of my sermons because I always say, the you know, people talk about me being have a disability and they feel sorry for me. And I tell people the greatest disability is not just you know, being able to walk. That might be look sad to the world, but the greatest disability is to help all your faculties walk and talk and live without Jesus. So actually, you stole one of my sermons. You didn't know that. First of all, Pastor, thank you so much for allowing me to do this interview for my audience, for the podcast, and for school. So I'm doing double duty. And also, we want to thank you guys for listening, and I hope you were encouraged by a man that I not only work with, but I highly respect. He's been doing this a long time. Trust me. He knows what he's talking about. Well, as always, I'm your rolling preacher, Reverend Daniel W. Brown, Sr. And as always, I'll leave you in the words of that great apostle Paul. Romans 8:28-29. For we know all things work together for the good that love the Lord and that are called according to his purpose, who he predestined to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. May the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you. And may you continue to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. God bless you. Bye-bye.